John chapter number 11, beginning at verse number 38 through 40. From bad to worse, but work it.
Work it.
What if every time that you call upon the Lord, He instantly shows up in your life? What if every time you kneel down to pray and you begin to ask God for something, anything, immediately God gave you what you asked Him for? Now, that may sound like a wonderful thing, but think about the many things that you would deprive yourself of. How will you know that God is a banker if He never allows the bills to be past due? How will you know that God is a healer if He never allows sickness in your life? How will you know that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother if you never have haters and backstabbers in your life? So in essence, everything that we go through is for our good. The Bible even declares that He makes all things work together for our good. I love it when God does miracles and God does wonderful things. My issue is that I don't like it when I'm the subject of the test. I like to see how you go through some things and how God, over a course of time, deliver you and you share your testimony, and I touch and agree and I'm happy with you. But I didn't feel none of that. So when you begin to go through something, we know that God is able to bring us through, but it is the going through the matter that is uncomfortable. See, but God has to give each and every one of us a personal testimony. And you can't tell my testimony the way that I can tell my testimony, because you may from a distance watch me go through, but you don't know what was going on inside of me. When you begin to go through something, people think they know what you're experiencing, but they don't know the fear that is upon you. They don't know what you're going through, and when everybody begins to walk away from you and you're not even sure if you still believe what you started off believing. So you begin to go through something, and your situation, the one that you started with, it was bad. But all of a sudden, your situation goes from bad to worse. Maybe God didn't hear me, because I declared that I told Him to deliver me from, not walk me further into. Remember when you first were saved? And as soon as you prayed and you asked God, it seemed like God showed up. And you wonder why God doesn't show up like that now. It's because when you first were saved, you were a babe in Christ. So He couldn't leave you very, very, very much. He had to come back to you. But now that you mature in your faith, He stayed gone for 2 weeks now. You know I'm telling the truth. You pray and ask God for something, you don't hear God, you don't feel God, you don't smell God. Ain't nothing about God in your situation. It simply goes from bad to worse. And as your situation worsens, you begin to pray longer, pray harder, and God still is not moving. See, whatever God is doing in your life, you have to understand that in essence, your life is not your life. Amen. When you are baptized, you say, Lord, here I am, take me, have your way with me. You surrender your life, your will, and say, here, have your will. And so sometimes when God is having His will or His way in our life, His way is a difficult way. So God begins to take you through something, and you think God is upset with you, but God is saying, the reason that I chose you to go through this this set of trouble, this set of circumstance, is because I believe in the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Sometimes God looks at us and God is trying to awaken us to show us that we are bad creatures, that we are created in His image, that we are empowered to go through anything that Satan throws at us. Too often in the church, we are afraid, and what we are afraid of is things that God has already gave us dominion, meaning authority, power, over. And so God sometimes will do something just so we can see His glory. But in your situation, if God is glorified through you, you ought to be satisfied. Because He chose you. And you have to understand, if God chose you for a set of troubles, there's no devil, no demon in hell that is going to destroy you, because you're right in the will of God. You can be going through something and still in the will of God. There's no better place than to be in His will. Now, sometimes God works in mysterious ways. So His will is in cancer. So His will is in bankruptcy. Yes. So His will is in divorce. So His will is in your little embarrassment. And you say, God, why did you allow that to happen to me? And He says, because you've shown me that you can deal with this set of trouble. I trust you with it. And if I gave it to anybody else, they'll lose their mind. But look at you still giving me some praise. I trust you with it because you still coming to church. Anybody else would have left a long time ago. See, we need to begin to thank God and praise God when we begin to go through something, because what God is saying is, I trust you.
Yes.
But God, do you know how I feel? I'm not talking about that. I trust you. But God, everybody's laughing at me. But I trust you. But God, do you know what this is going to do? I trust you. So God begins to allow us to go through some things. And as we begin to go through the things, other people begin to watch you. But God shows them Him. Did you get that? They're watching you. But God shows them Him. Because the only person that could have delivered you from that situation was God. You know you couldn't do that. The only person that can meet those bills is God. You know your little $8, $9, $10 an hour can't do that. You know your budget. The only person that could do that in your life is God. And so God sets you up for His glory. Jesus is hanging out one day. He received the word, and the word is that Lazarus, the one that you love. Don't you just love it when people want you to do something, they always play on your friendship? But you said you loved me. I thought we were tight. I thought we were down, dog. So Jesus received this word, and the word that Jesus received is Lazarus, the one that you love. He's sick unto death. And Jesus being Jesus, instead of Jesus then going to see what Lazarus is up to, He decides to tarry for 2 more days. Imagine you going through something and Jesus sit down. No, Jesus, I need for you to stand up right now. So Jesus sit down. And so then He wants to write in the dirt and He wants to do all the little funny stuff, but at the same time you going through something. God, do you hear me? Yeah, I hear you, but just go on about your business. And then there's God, He's just sitting there, and then He wants to talk to this person and He wants to hang out. But do you hear me? I'm your child. I'm the one that come to church. I'm the one that's faithful in my giving. I'm the one that's faithful in my attendance. I'm the one that's doing the very best. And now you don't hear me. You're not moving. It seems like when I was in the club and I asked you just for a little bit, you open the door. Now I'm in the church and you won't move for me. I don't understand that. It seems like when I was doing everything contrary to your word, to your will, you had a hedge of protection all around me. Now I'm in the church. It seems like everybody's stabbing me in the back. What's going on? What do you do when your situation situation goes from bad to worse. What do you do? Who do you turn to? You don't have an earthly friend that could see you through that situation. What do you do when it seems like God doesn't hear you? Because it happens to all of us when we begin to go through something. And I believe you, God. I know you exist. Uh-huh. But I'm making this thing personal. Where are you from me right now? I'm doing my very best for you. I'm not perfect, but your grace is sufficient. So just accept me for trying, because at least I'm mature enough to try. Years ago, I didn't think about trying. Years ago, I tell you what was on my mind. Years ago, I call you everything but a child of God. No, God, I'm trying. What do you do when your situation goes from bad to worse? Jesus is still tearing.
Yes, he is.
And so 2 days later, he shows up. And when he shows up, always expect conflict when God shows up in your life. As long as I'm doing my thing, everything is cool. But when I begin to do his thing, it seems like everybody comes against me. And even people who didn't like one another all of a sudden come together to attack you. And so here comes Martha. Martha shows up because Martha is the spokesperson. And I want to save somebody here, because when you leave church, you're going home and you're going to grill, and you know you're going to drink 1, 2, 5 beers too. So let me save you. Because 1, 2, 5, that's a new count, man. That's the county school system. At your little family get together, you'll always have one person, the family spokesman. You're going to have Martha. You're going to meet her. She's going to stand up and say what the rest of the family said. Martha comes to meet Jesus, and Martha says to Jesus, what you showing up now for? If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. You should have came when we first called you, and we wouldn't be going through this. And then Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection. She says, sure you are. In other words, she's saying, I don't believe that, because if that's who you are, you should have came 2 days ago. You should have came 3 days ago. Here it is on the fourth day. And so what Jesus has done is set it up for a blessing. He shows up 4 days when the spirit, they say, is gone out of the body. So he shows up in an impossible situation. He shows up in a situation. When he shows up, he wants us to understand that there is nothing impossible with God. Now, Jesus does the weirdest thing, I think, in the Bible. You got to get this. Now, here Jesus shows up. He has word that Lazarus is now dead. And so he's chilling. He comes in town. When he gets in town, Lazarus dead, been dead 4 days. Now he stinks. And you know, if you just there in that hot desert for 4 days, you just awful. And so Jesus shows up 4 days later. He comes with the intent, because the Bible says, he says, I'm glad. What you mean? I'm asking you for something, and now you have the audacity to write in your Bible, I'm glad for your sake. Don't you hate it when you're going through something and somebody always have more faith and confidence in you, and you say, help me, don't be glad, help me, don't watch me, help me, help me, step in. Oh, I know you can make it. Don't know I can make it. Show me a life vest. Help me through this situation. And here's Jesus. I'm glad. I'm glad for your sake and for my glory. Well, can you take your glory somewhere? I know you, God, but can you not be glorified through me? And God trust you. I trust you. He says, see, sometimes when God gives us a platform, we don't quite understand the platform. And so God will allow you to have a whole lot of friends and a whole lot of foolishness to happen in your life. And you saying, but God, I'm going to be embarrassed. He said, I'm going to get the glory in this thing. See, that's why God has permission to use us, is for his glory. And so Jesus is saying to Martha, I did it and I'm glad for your glory.
Amen.
So the most remarkable thing, I think, in the Bible, one of them, is that Jesus comes to the grave, to the cave, with the intent of raising Lazarus from the dead.
Yes,
now, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can raise Lazarus from the dead, but you ask BJ and Charles for help to roll away the stone. Think about this thing, man. Do you get it? I'm serious now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but I can't move the stone.
Yeah.
Now, which is hardest to do? Move the stone or raise Lazarus from the dead? Now, if I can raise Lazarus from the dead, surely I can move the stone. So what is he saying about move the stone? In other words, when your situation goes from bad to worse, you got to work it. You got to do what you can do. And see, everything that you're going through, we want God to do. God is saying, put some skin in the game. Get your hands dirty. You do what you can do. I'll do the rest, but you move one stone, I'll move another stone. You take one step, I'll take another step. But you got to work the words, and you got to do it while it's still there. So here's the disciples. Imagine them. You want me to move the stone, but you're going to raise him from the dead. I'm sure if it was Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, he says, Jesus, you move the stone, let me raise him from the dead. That's what I would have said. Let me do the do. Let me work the thing out. You said greater we can do, didn't you? So let me see. And so God says you got to work it. Now the word work in the Greek language is the word ergon. Work doesn't necessarily mean what you do.
Come on,
it's who you are. So even when you're not praying in the natural, you're praying in the spirit. Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. And so when you drive down the road 65 miles an hour in another car, 6 inches or 6 feet from you, you're still praying and saying, God, bless me and give me some grace so that that car don't cross this little line and hit me. You gotta work it. See, God doesn't give you all of nothing. He didn't give you a building. He just gave you trees and say, work it. He didn't give you a car. He just gave you a job. He said, work the budget. He didn't give you everything that you asked for. He just gave you the car of it. And he says, you got to work that thing. See, every now and then when you're going through some stuff, you got to realize that what you need is already in your hand. I just got to work what I already have. I don't need God to do nothing else for me. He's already did it all on the cross. I just need to work what I already have. When I begin to work it and my faith is in line, then I begin to expect God to do something. I begin to align myself in, and then I see the works of God.
Yes.
See, God is saying you got to work it in order to see the wonders of God.
Yes, sir.
See, we want God to do his part, but God is saying you do your part.
Your part.
And isn't it funny, because what God asked us to do, or Jesus asked them to do, it sounds silly. I can move stone. And God is saying, well, why don't you have what you need? Because everything that you have need of this morning is already in your hand. It may not look like a final product,
come on, sir,
but it's already in your hand. You gotta work what's already in your hand. God, if you'll do this for me, then everything will be all right. He says, no, baby, work what you got. Just start off with just a little and watch me increase. Just start off, just trust me. I know it don't look like much in your hand, but if you grab what's in your hand and turn it over to me, if you'll bless it and let me have it, watch me do what I do. See, God is a miracle working God. All he needs for you to do is just to trust him. Have you ever been in a situation, all your friends bounced on you, all you had was God, come to discover that's all you needed in the beginning, and there you are mad with your friends because they didn't do something for you? They did not matter. They didn't need to do it because you had it all along. And if they would have did it, you'll have to give them the praise. So God didn't let them do it, so you'll give him the praise. Nobody but God. You ought to give him some praise in here this morning. Listen to what he says in closing. He says about Lazarus, he says, Lazarus, come forth. See, when you expect something from God, you need to be specific. Because if Jesus would have said, just come forth, Charles knew he was supposed to stay in the grave. And here comes Charles coming through, but it was for Lazarus. So Jesus says, Lazarus, you come forth. So you ask for blessings, and you don't understand why you're not getting exactly what you asked for. He says, ask. Because sometimes James says, we pray amiss. So Lazarus come forth, and here he is, hopping, in his little grave clothes, and he's hopping. And Jesus says, loose him.
Yes, sir.
See, somebody here this morning, you breathing, you alive. You don't realize you dead. So you hopping in your bills. You hopping in your mistakes. You hopping in your failure. I came to tell you that God says to you, loose you this morning in the name of Jesus. You're free from that stuff. You got to know I'm loose from that. I'm free from that. I don't care what you said about me. I don't care what you think about me. I'm free from that. Then Lazarus come forth. And they says, now that he's loose, says, give him some food.
That's right.
Give him some words.
Okay.
Not table food.
Yeah.
Give him some words. See, because what loose you, if you don't replace it with something, you'll go right back there. Uh-huh. Let me come close to you. If you get out of one relationship and you don't fix you, you're going right back into that same relationship. If you lose from one addiction, but if you don't replace it with some food, some words, you're going right back into that addiction. If you lose it and you lose from what folks say, see, when God frees you from the opinion of folks, you got to put a word in it to block you from going back to that foolishness. He says, loose it. And we never heard anything else about that story. See, when God loose you, when God allows your situation to go from bad to worse, and then he says, work it, and then God says, I'm going to loose you from it, and he delivers you from it, like Lazarus, he wants us just to walk away from it. No, don't talk about it. I don't care what he, she did. Don't talk about it. But do you remember? I don't care. Every time you're going through something, you always bring up What happened to you in the past? God said, I'm not thinking about that. See, some of us like rain and pain and pain and rain. We just like to be going through stuff. We just expect a storm. Everything's going good in your life. I wonder how long. See, why can't it just be that way? Well, you're a child of God. Why can't you be happy? Why would I serve a God? Watch this. Why would I serve a God that I have to go to heaven in order to see how good he is? Why would I serve a God like that? When he says, listen, he says, Satan comes like to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly, and that's here on this earth. You won't always have bills, baby. But it's just the norm. That's a lie. Oh, that may be your norm, but that sure is not my norm. I'm not going to wake up every day, I wonder how I'm going to pay that bill. I'm going to pay it this month the same way he made a way last month. The same way he made the last year. And this time I'm expecting an overflow. Give me an overflow. Enlarge my territory. Stretch me. Come on and stand with me this morning. Your situation may be bad, and it's going to worse. And God is saying, but work what's in your hand. Doesn't look like much, but work it. See, whenever God allows something to come into your life, Satan has to go and he has to knock. Knock, 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 knock. God, I need permission from you to touch your property called y'all. And then God says, because God cannot be tempted, he can test you. And so if God says, have at y'all, that means that what's inside of y'all is not ready for the test, already have victory. You ought to give him some praise. I said, you already have victory. You already have victory. And so God just allow you to go through it for his glory. Somebody here, you've been going through something, and now God is saying, I'm going to loose you when you take a step of faith. I'm going to loose you when you come out of your grave clothes, when you come out of that dead mentality that you have, when you come out of the traditions of man. I'm going to loose you at that point. If that's you this morning, you need a church home, you don't have a place that you can call your own and a place of worship, God is loosing you this morning. And as God loose you this morning, he says, come forth. Come out of your grave. Come out of your dead stuff. Come out of the stuff that's not working. Come into a place of change, life changing. Come into a place where I'm going to make you over again. If you're here this morning and you don't have a church home, never received Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to come. As we close this morning, all you have to do is take a step of faith.
Hallelujah.
Everything else is already taken care of. Doesn't get any easier than that. Just take a step of faith. With everyone this morning that's sure about your salvation, one this morning that need a church home, one this morning struggling through, going through something, and God is saying, you come. I want to loose you this morning. I want to loose you this morning. It's not always the stuff that holds you. Sometimes it's you that holds you. God wants to loose you. With everyone this morning.